One of the things I enjoy about Christmas celebrations are families getting together and telling those epic stories about other family members, parents, grandparents. That's an important ritual because it's part of how we keep alive the memory of those who've lived before us. Recently, I was sharing a story from my childhood. Right around the time when I'm in elementary school and becoming just a little philosophical about Christmas, thinking about the true meaning of Christmas and the real source of all those gifts that end up under the tree, I was struggling with some of the physics and the aerodynamics of it all, if you know what I mean, and it was distressing my Christmas. And that particular Christmas in Cleveland, Ohio, we had an amazing Christmas Eve snow, so that when I woke up the next morning, we opened all of our gifts around the tree. So we made our way to the kitchen to have breakfast. My father pointed out the window across the street to the neighbor's roof line, and there were two parallel tracks of animal footprints, and he said, "John, reindeer tracks." And my joy of the mystery of Christmas was preserved for another season. It's appropriate to tell family stories at Christmas. It's appropriate that Matthew would begin the Christmas story by repeating some of Jesus' family tree, talking about the heroes and the heroines who led to this moment. The genealogy of Jesus would be a great Christmas Eve sermon all by itself, but I'm not sure you would come. But in that genealogy, it's amazing stuff. This family line was hanging by a thread more than once, and we thought it would fizzle out, but there we made it. 42 generations from Abraham to Jesus, only to make a sudden detour at the very end. Matthew changed his pattern of father begat son, and son begat the next son at the very end. As he said, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. We expected him to say, and Jacob was the father of Joseph, and Joseph was the father of Jesus. Well, that's not how he said it. Matthew is telling us that Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus. And so the genealogy is the source, one of the sources of that idea, that doctrine of the virgin birth, that idea that Mary is the mother of Jesus, but Jesus had no human father because God was his father. Kind of hate to mention the virgin birth on Christmas Eve because sometimes it causes people to stumble. It doesn't sound too historical. Certainly doesn't sound natural. And it seems a little unbelievable to modern ears. But this is how the Bible describes the incarnation. God becoming flesh and living among us, which seems to me even a little bit more remarkable. So if we can accept that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, then explaining how God became flesh through the virgin birth doesn't seem that unreasonable, because how else might it have happened? The virgin birth means, though, for Matthew, that Joseph is not the biological father. It means he's the adoptive father of Jesus. And that's important. It means the Christmas story is not just the story of a birth, it's also the story of an adoption. And I think that this surprise ending of the family tree of Jesus points beyond itself to what God our Father is actually doing himself on that night of Christmas. Joseph was adopting Jesus. Jesus would become the Savior of the world, so that God our Father could adopt us back into his family again. Adoption is one way in which the Bible describes this saving work that Jesus is going to do. We're going to be adopted back into God's family. As the Bible describes God's experience of humanity, it says that's where we started, was in the family with God, that story of creation with all the poetry of that. So God dwelled with us and we dwelled with God until we unfriended God. You know that term, to unfriend, right, from social media? And if Social media can take a noun and make a verb out of it to friend or unfriend someone. We can do it too. So in the Garden of Eden, we unfamilied God. We decided we would live on our own. We didn't need God to tell us the difference between good and evil. We'd figure it out by ourselves. And we took all that God had given us and we ran far, far away. Jesus would describe this experience from God's perspective in that parable of the prodigal son. You remember that story. A young son, kind of strong-headed, a little eager to launch from the family, comes to his dad and says, "Give me my share of the inheritance." And he's not dead yet, so that's a little offensive. I have a little bit of a news to tell my kids that if you ask for your inheritance before I'm dead, there won't be much because I'm using it to live right now. In that story that Jesus tells, God's the Father. And the Father releases the Son from the family because what else can he do? So the Son takes his inheritance, goes off to a distant country, spends it all until he is run out, which is what always happens when we run away from God, we run out. And when the prodigal comes to himself, Jesus says he realized he was no longer his father's son. Not because anything the father had done, not because the father was angry or resentful, but because the son had chosen to sever all family ties. He revoked his allegiance to his family. He unfamilied his father. This is what Jesus is saying we've all done. We all have unfamilied God. We've all run from God and chosen to live life on our own terms. We don't have to look too far to see how that's turned out for us. But just because we stop loving God doesn't mean that our Father stopped loving us. Since we couldn't rightfully make our way back to the family kitchen table in God's house, God came after us to save us, to give us another way home, another way to be in the home of God. When John tells the Christmas story, he doesn't use the story. He doesn't use the narrative. He describes what happens theologically because Jesus was born. And he says it like this, that Jesus came and was among his own. God came and was among humanity that he created, yet they did not recognize him. But to everyone who believed, he gave the right to become children of God, to become children of God again, adopted. So back to Joseph. Joseph being asked to adopt Jesus, is Joseph mimicking what God is doing himself at Christmas? God, our Father, is giving us a way back, the ability to become adopted as children of God again. And so through the adoption of Jesus by Joseph, we see that God never gave up on us. Simply because we closed the door as we left God's home, God, nevertheless, our Father, opened another door by which we could choose to enter again. But the choice to belong to God's family is ours. God doesn't kidnap us or force us to become part of the family we rejected. We're simply given the opportunity to choose God's forever family again. The birth of Jesus is certainly the most miraculous part of the Christmas story, but the adoption of Jesus tells us what the birth means. It means that we too can be adopted. That's why Jesus has come, to give us a way home. So there's all kinds of light and darkness in the Christmas story. It's significant we gather at nighttime to remember Jesus' birth. Because in the darkness, God came, and Jesus became the light of the world. It is his light, his love, his rescue, his adoption that we celebrate tonight. And that's the good news we have to share with others. So I invite you to take your candles, and our ushers will come and prepare to pass the light of this good news among us. Stand as we sing.